Amen. So, Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. And 26 through 38. And let's read it together. It says, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to a man, to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Verse 34, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left. Everybody said amen. I've been praying all week about this, and I really feel I want the ladies, the women, to really focus. I'm going to say one thing to the men, and then you can go to sleep. Okay? So if you're a woman, married lady, mother especially, try not to leave, because I really feel God has something for you. Okay? So here it is. Men, there's a famous evangelist named Billy Sunday, and he said this to men. He said, "Men, try praising your wife, even if it does frighten her at first." It's a good advice to men. Now you can go to sleep. No, just kidding. And here's another funny one. I saw this on a church sign, a famous church signs, right? It said, "If evolution is true, how come mothers still have only two hands?" That's a good one, for sure. But like I said earlier, for several weeks we've been talking and teaching and preaching out of the book of Matthew. And mainly talking, again, about Mary. And I'm going to talk a little bit to the kids, too, at the same time here, okay, guys? But we all know that Jesus, right? Mary was Jesus' mama. And history tells us about the famous mother of all. And she had, God called her to a specific task. And I believe that God has called parents today for a specific task. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Now, if you're taking notes, I have 3 points I want us to consider in the story. So here's the 3 points. A mother called by God submits to his will. A mother called by God submits to his will. Number 2, a mother called by God does not have to be perfect. A mother called by God does not have to be perfect. And number 3, a mother called by God never relinquishes the title. A mother called by God never relinquishes the title. So those are the 3 points. Here's the first point. A mother called by God submits to His will. Now what we find here, we find Mary as a teenager, she was confronted with the challenge to be completely, everybody say completely, to be completely submitted to God's will for herself and for her baby. Think about that one now. She had to be committed to God's will for her and Jesus' life. When Gabriel gave her the message that she was able to, going to be carrying the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, Mary was stunned. I mean, think about it. It'll be like you out in your garden, picking some peas one day, getting some okra, digging up some taters. Can I say that? And all of a sudden, this big, beautiful being was standing there before you saying, excuse me, dumb. Don't be afraid. But God has chosen you to give birth to the Savior of the world. Would it catch you off guard out in your pea patch? Definitely. So Mary was kind of stunned by this. But the real key phrase for us to focus on right there is we just read it. Mary said, I'm your servant. I'm the Lord's servant. I'm the maid servant. Whatever you say, whatever God wants me to do, I'm willing to do it. So basically she said, so be it. Now this whole life with Mary and Jesus growing up and all everything, Mary never wavered from her complete submission to God's will for her and Jesus. I'm going to say that one a lot during the next few minutes. Was she nervous? Certainly she was. Was she unsure maybe about her own abilities? Wouldn't you be? I would. I'm sure Lynn would. You know, right? You'd be a little unsure. Can I do this? Am I capable to do this? Was she anxious? You know, was she anxious about maybe some future pain? Because she had to know that there's probably going to be some future emotional pain, maybe some physical pain. Of course she was. Mary was like the mother who sits up late at night, far past her bedtime, waiting on her daughter to get home from that date. She probably was just like that father who said that heartfelt prayer as their son drove off in his car and truck to go in the military or go to college or go move in his own house. Mary was just like every other woman in this church. She wanted her son to be safe, to be protected, to have a good life. And at the same time, fully aware that life sometimes is real difficult and real hard. Amen? But Mary, unlike most women today, I'm not talking about you guys, but most women today, Mary was completely committed to God and His will for her and her son. She was so committed that she had no room in her heart. She couldn't. To be able to be like placing her will on Jesus. Well, I think he should do this. I think he should do that. I think he should go here. I think he should go there. She couldn't do that. She had to completely trust God with his life. She knew, don't miss this one, now listen, she knew that it was all about his Father's will. She had to trust the Heavenly Father with her son. She knew that God had a plan for Jesus' life. And I know, this might sound maybe, I don't know what it might sound like, but I'm going to tell you, I know that God has a plan for each one of your children's lives. Mothers, grandmothers, God has a plan for each one of their lives. I'm sure it wasn't easy for Mary. I'm sure it was a daily walk, right? It was a hour by hour walk. It was a lot of prayer going on. But she had to trust God with Jesus' life. She had to trust God with Jesus' purpose in life. And each one of your children, no matter how old they are or how young they are, right, Walker? God has a purpose for their life. Each one of them. And that, my friends, made Mary a mother worth intimidating. Imitating. Amen? So second point. A mother called by God does not have to be perfect. She does not have to be perfect. That's great news. Right, ladies? That's great news. Let me tell you a funny little story about a lady named Linda Huckins from Malden, Massachusetts, tried to be perfect one day. It was the day that her daughter got married. As she tells the story, she went to the front of the church to light one of the three candles. She only had to light one candle. That was her job. This is how she tells it. I'll read it to you. It says, "Not realizing the potential hazard, I got too close to the candle and I set my acrylic nail on fire. Trying not to ruin my daughter's big day, I calmly lit the candle with my flaming nail. And then, like a gunslinger with his six shooter, I blew it out." And then she says, "Needless to say, my blackened nail was the talk of the reception." That's funny, isn't it? I think that's a funny one. But it really tells us that we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. Mothers, right? We're going to make mistakes. So, stop trying to be perfect and get it all right. Even though she was the mother of Jesus, Mary wasn't perfect. When Jesus performed his first miracle, Mary's conversation was the most unusual thing, especially with that story of Jesus, turning the water into wine. Jesus said this. He said to Mary, "Woman, why do you involve me? It's not my time." Now, two basic things out of that little statement. Kids, listen up. The first one is for you. Don't try this at home. Now, we tell you, you need to listen to Jesus and do what Jesus does. But when your mama tells you to clean your room, help take the trash out, clean up the kitchen a little bit, help out, don't say, "Woman, why do you involve me in this? It's not my time." Nah, Jesus was thinking about something different now, right? So don't try that one. Just say amen, moms. Okay. It was a real awkward situation there, if you really think about it. Mary's request and her conversation with Jesus appears to be out of line with what Jesus was really ready to do. Okay? Though Jesus performed the miracle, there's this feeling that he did so partly because his mom kind of put him on the spot. Because if you really study this and you really look at it, the way it's written indicates really that Mary may have made a mistake and tried to hurry Jesus, tried to hurry him up. But Jesus loved his mother. He respected her. So I believe that he moved on with the miracle, If you read that whole story, it looks pretty clear to me that's kind of what happened. And there's a few more examples in the Bible where Mary, messed up a little bit here and there, but we're not going to go there now. I just want you to understand, and I want you to think about this. This is Mary, the mother of Jesus, the creator of everything, the creator of the universe, the world, everything. And she's making mistakes. Let that settle in now. You've made mistakes. I'm talking to moms. You've made mistakes. You've made mistakes in the past. You're certainly probably going to make a mistake sometime today. And guess what? You're going to make mistakes tomorrow, and the next month, and the next year. You're going to make mistakes. But please understand this. Through it all, God loves you, and He has a plan for your life. He will be with you, and He accepts you. God accepts you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Through it all, the task of mothering or grandmothering, your mission will be accomplished. Jesus said that He will, what? Complete what He started in your life of being a mother and a grandmother. And let me meddle just a little bit. Okay, I'm going to get a meddling a little bit. So don't throw stones at me here. How many women have been slightly discouraged by the last few words of Proverbs? Okay, so again, don't throw one. Proverbs 31, the author writes of the perfect woman. Now I want you to know there's 22 lines in this poem. And each of them begins with the successive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Okay? It's an acrostic poem that speaks of an imaginary woman. You with me? Okay? I know it says she never sleeps and she always works. So I get it. Maybe that one's kind of reality, right? Mothers sometimes feel like that. But in this poem, she manages a fleet of sheep. She runs a farm. She manages a staff. She sews like a fashion expert. She cooks, cleans, homeschools her children. She has a feast waiting on her husband when he arrives from home, from his much less demanding job. And she needs no carpool whatsoever. She simply puts on her super mother cape and flies her children to the next appointment. Amen? Some of you moms have studied that. You know, deep down in your heart. I love Proverbs 31. But if we could read this in the English, okay, where really it's the Hebrew, okay, what we can't see in the Hebrew, we don't see it in the English. If we could read it in the Hebrew, it would kind of sound something like this. A is for the apple pie she bakes. B is for the babies she loves. C is for the cleaning of the house. And right on down to Z, talking about the zoo that she manages. Seriously. Okay, any woman who tries to emulate the woman of Proverbs 31 will understand truthfully that the first line that says this, a wife like this, who can find her? Amen. Now, the Proverbs woman or mother is a great example. It's the perfect example. And it's a goal that everyone woman should strive to. But please, don't think you have to be perfect. Don't think that you have to not make a mistake. Amen? Jesus' mama did. And you will too. So give yourself a break. Number three. Last one. Number three. A mother called by God never relinquishes the title. The title of mother. Amen? Now, near the foot of the cross, we see Mary. Jesus is on the cross, and we see Mary. Now, Mary didn't stand there stoically or passively at the foot of the cross as if she was already some stained glass, you know. I believe that Mary crumbled at the cross and fell to the ground, moaning and wailing and begging the God of heaven to stop her hell on earth and go ahead and take Jesus. I mean, come on. It's Mary. It's Jesus' mother, and she's watching this. I believe the cross cut her deeply as a mother, deep in her heart. But through this whole thing, through this whole process of what was going on, Mary was there. She was right there. She was a mother from the beginning and a mother right to the end. A mother called by God never relinquishes the title. You'll find mothers like this in the halls of children's hospitals. You'll find mothers like this in the funeral homes and coming to the prisons every week, every month. You'll find mothers like this in counselors' offices. Mothers never relinquish the title. Even if the child is rebellious and harsh and cruel and cuts at your heart deeply, the mother will never give up. Her heart will not allow her. Especially when God has called her and she understands that God has called her. When a woman becomes a mother and a man becomes a father, there is this instinct that they realize that, you know what? There's a possibility that one day there may be some pain. I hope not, but there may be some pain that comes along. This cross that most all of us have to bear, it's different for every family. But I'm telling you, my friends, and most of you live long enough to understand, frankly, the cross always certainly comes in some way. And there's some pain that we have to deal with. There's some emotional pain, maybe even physical pain. But it almost comes on all of us. I really kind of think it does. It may be divorce. It may be disease. It may be death. It may be rebellion. There may be harsh words and unacceptable actions. There may be tough love. It may be the impossible nights that you don't think you're going to be able to make it through. But through it all, mothers that are called by God never relinquish the title. Never. They never stop believing. They never stop praying. There's nothing like a mother's love. Amen. I'm going to close by saying this. Mary had a chance to see God's entire plan for Jesus' life fold out. She suffered through the crucifixion. She celebrated the resurrection. She even had a part in the small group who experienced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. What a gift. What a gift from God to live long enough for parenting to make sense. Anybody, amen? Now this is precious right here. Some parents live long enough to see God's plan for their children. Some see God working in the lives of their grandchildren. Now, some, I don't know why, but some only see God's plan from the halls of heaven. Now, it's a little unusual for me to close a message about a comic strip, but I'm going to do it. The Children of Family Circus, anybody remember that? The Children of Family Circus were discussing babies. One of the young experts announced, "Storks don't bring babies. UPS does." Some of the other children chimed in and gave their different ideas, but they saved the best one for last. This little kid spoke up and said, "Babies, they're connected to their mothers by a biblical cord." Now that's cute. That's profound if you think about it. Okay? There's so many biblical principles for parenting in the Bible that no parent can afford to not know them. Amen? There are so many solid principles. I encourage you, if you're going to be a godly parent, a godly mother, a godly father, grandfather, grandparents, be sure to immerse yourself in God's Word. And make a commitment to prayer. And be fully committed to the calling that God has given you, mothers, grandmothers. And be committed to the calling that God has on your children and your grandchildren. You may not understand it right now. You may not see it all complete. Don't lose hope. God has them in His hand. Amen? Just keep praying. Keep believing. And don't give up. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just come together in one accord. One body. Lord, you said where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them. So we know that you're here with us, Father. We've heard your word. Hopefully it's encouraged us. Lord, we all bind together and we pray for each other right now in Jesus' name for our children, our grandchildren. Pray for our mothers. I thank you, Lord, that some folks listening to me right now will be able to see their mama in heaven. It will be a great reunion. Maybe there's one here this morning that's never accepted Christ and they're not sure that they will be able to go to heaven. Or during this song of invitation, I pray they'll come down and make sure that we can be assured of our salvation. I'd be glad to pray with them. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.